Hello and welcome to Church at Home. My name's Dan. I'm delighted to be welcoming you to this short service of worship. Today we're exploring the theme of Jesus speaking to the crowds. And I'm aware that we're living in strange times where crowds of any kind aren't allowed to gather. But the thing about crowds is that they are, of course, made up of individuals. And here in today's gospel reading, Jesus is speaking to individuals as they make up a crowd. And my prayer for the next few minutes is that Jesus speaks to you as an individual who's part of the scattered, diverse crowd that make up the church. So let's begin in prayer. We stand before the throne of God with countless crowds from every nation and race, tribe and language. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honour, power and might. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So let's praise him now. And just as we've sung about worshipping him in humility and about forgiving others, we turn now to a time of confession as we pray. Christ came in humility to share our lives. Forgive our pride. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ came with good news for all people. Forgive our silence. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ came in love to a world of suffering. Forgive our self-centeredness. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins. Heal us and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. We hear now from Matthew chapter 11, which is in the New Testament of the Bible. And as I said earlier, Jesus is speaking to the crowds. And our reading today is brought to us by a very special guest.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19 and 25 to the end. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang the dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. So we continue this morning through Matthew's Gospel. And if we look at the verses leading up to today's verses, we will see that Jesus is speaking to the crowds of people, and he's speaking about the ministry of John the Baptist. He's great praise for John's ministry. Jesus is passionate about John, and he says in verse 11 of Matthew 11, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. He really holds John in high acclaim and gives him the praise that is due to him. Then we come to today's verses, and here I sense a frustrated Jesus who probably throws his arms in the air and says, I just can't win. John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he's a glutton and a drunkard. You can just sense why Jesus is frustrated. And I wonder how many times we have said those self-same words. I just can't win. So Jesus answers to this in that wisdom is proved right by her actions. That is quite a difficult verse to unpack, but I think it means that those who are really seeking the truth will welcome whatever is right and holy in whatever form it comes. So it doesn't matter whether the truth is delivered by a John, a recluse, or by Jesus, a so-called partygoer. What matters is that what they do is real and true to God's word. And there's no doubting that both John and Jesus both preached the gospel. They both pursued the wisdom of God. So it makes it clear that the ministry of Jesus can be shared by all people, including those on the margins, the vulnerable people, and the weak. I think that when it comes to verses 25 and 26, this is what Jesus means when he says, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." So there are times when we are in leadership, we can learn so much from an unlikely person. My son says the most profound spiritual things to me at times, and I think, wow, he may not come into church, but he has an insight that I need to learn from. He's more of a John the Baptist than a Jesus, definitely a bit of a loner, but not interested in material worth. But he certainly stops me in my tracks on occasions and makes me reassess my lifestyle and my way of thinking. This is clearly what Jesus is saying, that there are some things that have been hidden from us and revealed to others. Not just others, but those we would least expect God to speak through. In our verses, Jesus uses the imagery of infants, the little children. It's so easy to see why Jesus was speaking in terms of children. When we look at the crowd, at the time he was contrasting the people to the innocence of the child. The Jewish people were so burdened with formalities of their faith, strict obedience to the Jewish law. They were weighed down as with a yoke around their necks, constantly trying to achieve what was expected of them. Their relationship with God was defined by how you followed the rules. Then Jesus comes along and he says, his yoke comes from his mercy and love, rather than strict obedience to the Jewish law. If we think of the heavy yoke the oxen wore around their shoulder, how restrictive that would be. The contrast Jesus makes is so immense. By offering his yoke to the people, placing on their shoulders the yoke of Christ, and in doing that, giving a profound freedom, moving away from being tied down with that heavy yoke. Jesus wanted to give these followers freedom from the burden of religion that was so weighing them down. When Jesus addressed the crowds that day, he could see that the wise and learned were getting nowhere because of this heavy yoke that they wore. Yet the ordinary people, in fact the less than ordinary people, the sinners, the tax collectors, were discovering God simply by following him. As followers of Jesus, we should be working together, sharing words of encouragement and relying on the strength of God, resting in God's love that he offers when he says to us, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." As we move into a new phase in the life of the minister, these verses should encourage us to offer all we do to God, a time to rest in him and to allow him to work not only through our leadership team, our PCC, our volunteers, but also through each person, remembering God chooses to speak to all, and it's often those without a yoke around their necks that hear the words. Following Christ is about humbling ourselves, like a child, loving our world and loving those around us, and most of all, loving our Lord Jesus. Amen.
So as we reflect on those words from Irene, we were reminded that the ordinary, and even the less than ordinary people, were discovering God simply by following him. So as we enter a time of prayer now, led by Ian, one of our church wardens, let's recommit to following him, to resting in him, to relying on the strength of God.
As we turn to God in prayer, we reach out to Jesus, asking him to meet us in love and compassion. We take time in prayer to pause and listen, not tangled in complication, not above our minds or beyond our powers, but with our open hearts, waiting to discover the gentle wisdom that guards our living. We pray to Jesus to bring us to the reality of God, not locked up in religion, but drawing us forward, beckoning us to be disciples, embraced and energized from heaven by your love for all. Faithful God, we pray for all people who seek to follow your way in their lives. Let your church speak your word of truth with confidence and in unity, so that those who are searching and listening will be able to see and hear clearly your message of love and peace. Help us, your church, to proclaim your message in ways that all can accept it and feel included. We enter this week with much anticipation for the future. On Wednesday, we welcome Dominic and his family to Hull to take up his role and lead the Minster forward. As we pray for them, we also remember Stephen Cottrell, who will take up his role as Archbishop on Thursday. We pray for them both as they begin new roles in challenging times, and pray you will help them to realise the opportunities an unusual start may present. As Dominic arrives, we pray for those who have led us through recent times, give thanks for our ministry team and the additional responsibilities they have carried in vacancy. We also pray for North Ormsby as they face vacancy as Dominic leaves, and we remember their church at this time and pray for all those who will lead that church. We also pray for our PCC Standing Committee, who are meeting weekly to address the challenges that the Minster faces, and we pray for their deliberations may be blessed by your wisdom and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of creation, we pray for the world, and we pray for the people around us in our neighbourhoods and our places of work. Give us sensitivity and insight into their needs and vulnerabilities, so that we may learn truly to love our neighbours as ourselves. In our time for prayer, we bring to you all who face daily challenges, who sit on the boundaries, whose lives are determined by factors beyond their control. War and violence, hunger and thirst, addiction and drugs, loneliness and despair. Help us to reach out and welcome them into your church, to offer compassion and to live out your gospel, bringing rest to the weary and sharing the heavy burdens many of our local and global neighbours carry. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, as we remember those who are sick in body, mind or spirit, we give thanks for the NHS, launched today 62 years ago in 1948. As it continues to respond to one of its biggest challenges, we pray for all who work for it. Those responsible for cleaning wards, the scientists testing new treatments, the frontline nurses and doctors who put our health and well-being ahead of their own. Support all who work in the NHS and walk alongside them as they live out your calling, offering care and treatment to anyone, no matter of wealth or status, rank or privilege, treating every patient with dignity and compassion. We ask for your blessing on all who are struggling with health issues, and you will provide comfort to them and those who care for them. Compassionate God, we remember those who have died through illness, accident, war, or acts of violence. Comfort those who mourn in their time of loss and bring peace to their lives as you welcome their loved ones into your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we offer ourselves to you in faith and confidence. Show us as we go out into the world how we can best prepare ourselves to be part of your response to our prayers. Fill us with the Spirit of life which was in Christ Jesus, your Son and our Saviour. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
This week is the first week in July, but it also feels like a significant week that we've been building up to for a while now in the life of Holminster. It's not quite how we planned it to be, but we are delighted to be welcoming Dominic as our new priest in charge this week. And more information can be found in our Minster Lifeline, and this is available on our website under our weekly updates. As part of our welcome to Dominic, Heather, Leo and Ben, we'd love you to send in a short 5-second welcome video, and details of how to do so can be read in the Minster Lifeline. Thank you to those of you who have already sent them in to me. If you haven't yet, please do so by this Thursday the 9th. We continue to remain open as a building for personal prayer in the church on a Friday, Saturday and on a Sunday, 12 till 3 p.m. And you'd be really welcome to come down into the Minster as we continue to slowly but safely reopen our building. Thank you to those of you who are able to continue giving financially to the ongoing ministry and the mission in Holminster. You can do so, if you want to continue doing so, online via the website or via the Church Suite app. Thank you for your ongoing generosity. Whilst we may all be individuals among the crowd, we're reminded in our next song that the Spirit binds us all in unity. So let's celebrate that truth as we worship him with our final song.
Oh,
So thank you for joining us for worship, join Church at Home again. And I invite you to join me now as we share a closing prayer, as we pray the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen. Welcome to this latest Holminster video update. Well, it's been a while. Hopefully you've been reading our weekly updates and worshipping with us during Church at Home. That is all continuing, and perhaps as I'm speaking to you now, you're thinking, why on earth am I not camped across the road at the hairdressers across Trinity Square? Well, unfortunately they're closed, but we are delighted to announce that Holminster is reopening for personal prayer only. For you and for your household to gather, to come to the Minster, initially from 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock, Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays. Well, despite it being England's largest parish church, we're still asking you to respect the distancing regulations, and we've provided hand sanitizer for you to use as you enter and exit Holminster. We brought IKEA to Hull with this exciting one-way system. It's in place throughout the building, and Holminster guides will be in place to answer any questions you have or to offer a word of encouragement and comfort. Please respect them as they ask you to wait or to queue. It's all for your safety and for theirs. We're sorry that the Minster kitchen, Minster shop and toilet facilities will be closed at the moment, but it enables us to keep the rest of the building safe and clean for you to take time to reflect and to pray. We're looking forward to welcoming you here at Holminster. And whilst you're with us, candles are available. If you want to spend a moment, light a candle and pause and pray. Contactless giving stations are in place if you wish to give financially to the ongoing mission and ministry of the Minster, which is very much continuing in the midst of this really difficult season that we're in for all of us. So we hope that by being open, it's a place where you can come in and be prayerful and spend some space being quiet in the midst of a busy life, praying for the city and praying for the church in the heart of Hull.